Father, we want to thank you for another time that you have given us to study your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. We submit ourselves to you and receive the revelation that will change us. Help us to, O Lord, get rooted in the word of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you the praise and give you the glory. And we want to thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So last time, we were studying about whom are you following? After we are born again, we need to check up every day, whom am I following? Am I following my own thoughts and will? Or am I following the Holy Spirit who guides me through the Word of God? You see, the number one protection from deception has been all the time, it is infallible God's Word, which is settled in heaven forever. Now, the sin of the whole human race is the sin of independence. Man, everyone went on his own way. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Satan did his own will and does even now. So today we're going to see, as the sons and daughters of the kingdom of God, whom are we following? Are we following the lifestyle of Jesus Christ, who always lived to fulfill the will of God? He always said repeatedly, I came to do not my own will, but the will of him who sent me, that God the Father. So if we say that we are following Jesus, what are the main conditions that we need to look into? It is not just having a membership in a church or just studying the word, paying our tithes and worshiping the Lord with songs. You see, all these things are good, but then doing the will of God is the main thing. And even Jesus taught his disciples to pray, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to know the will of God, and we know that the revealed will given to us is included from in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We can know for many things. And of course, there are things that we need to wait upon God and be guided by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And of course, God will use matured saints of God to confirm to us what he has already spoken to in our spirit. Now, let us see Luke chapter 9. The conditions following Jesus Christ. Luke 9:57. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Now, We will want to say this, isn't it? And we sometimes sing songs almost similar to what this man said to Jesus. No matter where, no matter when, I will follow you. But many times, or I would say most of the time, we don't mean it. And when the trial comes, testing comes, we fall, not realizing that we sang lies. So this man said to Jesus, Lord, wherever you go, I'll follow you. And see the reply Jesus gave. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was telling him, hey, look, the animals are better off. You better know that it is going to cost you. Especially it's going to cost your comfort. Foxes have their holes. And the birds have got their nests when the day is over to go and rest them. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So he was saying, following me is going to cost you your comfort. Is it costing your comfort? Is it costing your sleep? Is it costing your food? Is it costing other comforts that you are receiving, have been receiving before? Of course, in different places, you have different comforts. A country like Canada, or any Western country, you've got more comforts for life, for better living, materially, are you there, than in the third world countries. Right? So, Jesus says it'll cost your comfort. If it is not costing anything, it's a question mark whether we are following Jesus or not. Now let's see what the other man is saying. Then he said to another, follow me. Now Jesus is telling that man, follow me. He said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now I have preached about this, taught about this topic many times. But people don't seem to receive serious what Jesus said. Now here is a man who's got a father who just passed away. And his body is at home. And he's asking the Lord, Lord, you have called me, right? Okay. But give me permission. I want to go and attend the funeral. Go to the cemetery. Bury my father. And I will come back and follow you. Let me first. Me first. Jesus knew that his father was dead already. Did he not know? I'm sure he knew. When Lazarus was dead, right there in his town, Jesus knew in his spirit, Lazarus is dead. Let us go to raise him. But see what Jesus is telling this man reply. Isn't it a valid reason for him to go back? Valid reason, a good thing. Oh my God. It is a once in a lifetime thing to do. You don't bury your father every year. Once you do it, it's over. Oh, come on, Jesus.
Let me go first. Me first. Then Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. Oh, I like this. Jesus told this man to go and preach the kingdom of God. But he said, let the dead bury their own dead. You think Jesus is behaving in such a manner that is not compassionate? No. God knows which is first. God knows which is important. And Jesus also knew that if this man doesn't go back and to do this job, he will never get it again. And if he stays back, going and preaching the kingdom of God, people are going to say, hey, are you his son? What kind of a thing that you have done? You couldn't even attend your own father's funeral. And every other person came, your friends came, and they asked for you. And you were in a big thing, you had become a big priest. Somebody was so important, religious. In Tamil, they will say, you have become a sannyasi. That's probably a priest. Jesus never gave him permission. Let the dead. Whom is he referring to? People who are dead spiritually. People who do not know, have not heard the message of the kingdom of God. People whose spirits are cut away from God. There is no fellowship. They are dead. Even though physically alive. So Jesus said, let the dead, those who are living in your house, they don't know God. Their lives are separated from God. Let them do this job, bury the dead, the physically dead. That's your father. But you have been with me now. You know the message of the kingdom. So you go and preach the kingdom of God. So, in the heart of Jesus, the preaching of the word of God, the kingdom of God, was so important, number one, than burying the dead, his father. Even though it's one time thing in life. Because if he misses that, he's not going to get it again to do that job. Are you with me? And in the heart of Jesus, the preaching of the kingdom of God was number one than the talk of the whole lot of those people in that house who would talk about this boy for not coming for the funeral. Jesus knew that. He knows what is in man, so he knows what they will speak. Immediately, what are we going to say? If a pastor says that to a man like that, oh, did pastor say like that, not to go and bury your father? Not to go for the funeral, to go for this crusade, for you to share the word? Yeah, he said that he doesn't want me to go back. Oh, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. This man is operating in a different spirit. Because man, this is your own dad, right? It's not your stepfather. But what are they going to think? Those people who would come for your dad's funeral. What are they going to think? See, we people are more worried about thoughts of people. But Jesus was concerned about the lives that were at stake. if they did not hear the message of the kingdom. So the message of the kingdom is more important for those who are physically living than for this man, this boy, to go and bury his father. See how Jesus places the message of the kingdom of God to a higher level than for the elementary, the normal, natural things that happen in houses. People die, of course. They get sick. Is that right? What you would have said if Jesus had given that reply to you? I would guess most of us would go and attend the funeral and not return to him, because there would have been waiting for us lots of other attacks of the enemy and enough reason that we should not go back, but to get a good job, get a good connection through somebody so that we can uphold the family. Now the father is not there. You are here. Now, verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. This is another man. Remember, we are talking about following Jesus. So it affects our comforts. Now, this affects actually the family ties, the one which we have been looking at. Your family affections. Oh, my sweet dad. I need to go and fall on him and the body and give him the last kiss. And another, he said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Oh, this man is concerned about the farewell. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. This again is a normal life activity. You remember, Holy Spirit writing to Timothy, no soldier will get himself entangled in the affairs of this life. I think it takes 2 Timothy, 2nd chapter. You know, this is a normal affairs of life. I was in Batiklo in Sri Lanka. I heard that my brother went to be with the Lord in the capital, Colombo. So I stayed back and then I continued the ministry. And I said, Lord, and of course I knew this, I said, what am I going to do by going there? Am I going to share any word? Am I going to be given anything to represent the kingdom of God? No. So why I to go and look at some people who would shed some, they say, crocodile tears? Sometimes the crocodile cries because it has no prey to eat. Nothing to eat. So these are normal things in life. So this man is another family tie. He want to go and say farewell. He want to go and tell everybody. I go and tell everyone. Affections, family ties. You know, these are secrets within our spirit, in our heart. The family ties, affections are of the soul. And it could be with an aunt or a sister or a brother or niece or nephew or mom or dad, or any relation, any friend. You go there. See what Jesus says here. So this man also says, let me go first. That man said, let me first. So Jesus told him, not me first, it's I first. You're not first, the kingdom of God is first. So this man gets the reply. Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand in the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now that you have held on to the plow, now that's a serious business. For one thing, you have put the hand on the plow, and if you look back, sometimes you get hurt because the plow is going front. And it's going to pull you. And you're going to sometimes have an accident or get thrown off. You're holding it and then you look back. The plow is going forward and you are looking backward. Two different directions. You agreed for the work. You knew that the plow was going forward at the kingdom of God. The souls need to be touched. The hearts need to be turned upside down by the power of God. And it is a tedious, serious job. And you're looking back now of your past life. And you agreed by touching the plow that you are going to get dirty. The plowing job is not going to be a comfortable one. Your feet is going to get into the mud. You're going to wear shoes and get inside there. You're not going there with three-piece suit and the oxen, the bulls, they're going to throw mud on you. You're going to get dirty. And other stones are going to come and more dirty water is going to come. What is it, Pastor? Dirty water? Are there accusations from all the other people? I thought you got prepared to get more and more dirty. If I had known that I had to go through all these unwanted accusations, why I had to hear this unwanted sometimes. Now I've been listening some soft word, but now rebuke is coming. But I thought, you will not touch my private life. The world won't touch your private life. If you go to the doctor, he will ask you to show your private organ. If there is any problem there, you say, no. You can't see that. So the doctor will say, go home and die. When you come to the priest, the servant of God, you can't hide. No, you're not coming there. Even for Jesus, I have not given the keys there. That room is locked. So, you tell me nothing, I tell you nothing. You tell me nothing, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't. No. When you keep your hand on the plow, you are going to expose yourself to all kinds of uncomfortable things. So Jesus said, he did not say, well, he who is at the table eating a food, put his hand in the plate rather, looking back. No, he never said that. He said, the plow. No, looking back. If you look back to your life and said, well, I don't know. This is going a bit really tough. This is very too much expectation. Of course. Wait until we will see the other things to follow Jesus. So he was saying a more and more losing our comfort. It's not going to be easy. Jesus never promised an easy life or a trouble-free life in this alien land. We are citizens of another country. You are a son of God, ambassador. So, live like one. If you're a Christian, live like the pagan. Live like any other religious man. Sunday is a big day for you. And all the other 6 days, live like the devil. That is a Christian. Now, Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, 25. Now great multitudes went with him and he turned aside to him. Now the great multitude of people are following Jesus. And he turned and told them, if anyone comes to me or following me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. A disciple is one who follows Jesus. You continue with Jesus, you become a disciple. And Jesus says some conditions over here, and he's touching some members of the family. Many, you know, they don't think and take these things seriously. When the trial comes, they fall away. They think that, well, Jesus did not mean that. Well, he understands. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, and brothers, and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He never said it is going to be impossible for you. He says you cannot. He never said it's going to be hard. What is he saying about hating them? I mean, is it a paradox? I mean, other times he says that you got to love all the time. Is it contradictory? No. Matthew has the answer. That means if you love them more than Jesus Christ and more than the kingdom of God, you are going to be in trouble. Because anybody, the devil can use anyone, your father, your mother, your children, your brother, your sister, your relations, let it be any, even your own life. The devil can use anybody to stop you from going forward the call of God in your life. Could be a husband, it could be a wife. Remember, Jesus said, first thing when the disciples asked, well, what is the sign of the end time? See to it that no one deceives you. No one. Anybody is included. A pastor can deceive the whole congregation. And there are many places like that. Blind leading the blind. You see, there are so many people who have missed their call on their lives because they had more affection for some of these people mentioned here in the family tie that have the more. That's why that man was not allowed to go back home. Probably, I believe, that man had more family tie, soul tie with his father. Like the young man, you know, who had the riches. And Jesus said, sell everything and come and follow me. We're coming to that. So here, the affections, the love, the relationships will be affected in order to achieve the call of God in your life. Many settle down with their born-again experience. And they go to church, speak in tongues, and that's about all. Maybe they just do some work, you know, be as an usher. Welcome people. But there's a higher call for everyone. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There is a cross to bear. Every time when we choose the will of God against our will, we choose, we take up the cross. Our will and God's will crosses. And we must choose God's will in order to go on with Jesus, fulfilling the purpose of God in our lives. The cross deals with our inner man. It tells us of the crucified life. You are not your own. You are bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus. What audacity we have for us to say, no, I cannot come. I cannot do that. Well, that's too much. I don't think I can cope up with that life. That's too much. I think I got so used to this life. Jesus will never beg anyone. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Jesus again saying, it's going to cost you to follow me. It's like building a tower. You're going to take time. You're going to focus on that. It's building. You need to build your life on the word of God day by day. Building. It's going to cost you. Cost your life, your money, your time, everything. But if you don't sit down and think, what is it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and he is not able to finish, all who see it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make a war against another king? And Jesus also says, you're following me? Hey, you're going to be engaged with a war. You're going to experience war. Whether you like it or not, if you're born again, the devil hates you to your guts. Because he knows that you are a threat. He will keep you and me ignorant of the call of God, ignorant of our gifting and our anointing, and he will make us do some good thing, not the God thing. He will make you even to study and study and study and study and study, take down notes and study, get BTH, BD, Bachelor of Divinity, and then go for DD, Doctor of Divinity, and then go as a chancellor, and you be end up as a, I don't know, professory. And I heard one man saying that to me. He had BD and he said, you're going to study more. And then I said, what are you going to do now? Bachelor of Divinity? Not even BTH, Bachelor of Theology. BD he has. I said, what are you going to do now? I'm going to do DD. Well, I said, well, I think I already have DD. That's right. Devil driver. That's what Jesus called you for. That's the first thing. They shall cast out demons in my name. You don't do that. You can have your DD in your paper, man, and not know that there is even a demon. And not believe in a demon. Are there people like that? Of course, yes. Teaching in seminary. Why are they there, Pastor? Well, you got to go and ask them. Maybe for living, deceived. Some people openly say. So consider whether he's able to with 10,000 to meet him who comes against with him 20,000. Verse 31. Or else why the other is still a great way off sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple, cannot follow me. If the devil can put a hold hook on us on something, whether it is a house, is your marriage, husband or wife, or your job, or your clothing, or your partner, or your fiancé, or whatever, or food, let it be anything. If it can catch you, it won't. Maybe you will end up in heaven when you die because you are born again. But then, you don't know that you're not going to be in heaven. You will be coming down to earth. Did you know that? And you will be here on earth if you're born again with Jesus Christ, with your whatever reward that he has for you. And that'll be tough at that time. So Jesus continually said these things all the time. Right? It'll cost you. And you're going to have warfare when you follow me. Somebody said, new level, new devil. So you have one warfare, you get strength, and now you meet another devil. So you go from one strength to the other strength. How can you have victory without a war? How can you know the power of the name of Jesus if there are no demons? How? If God gives us a knife, he must give us something to cut, isn't it? Don't cut each other, cut the devil. What is that sword? The word of God. What are you doing with it? Luke 9:23-24. Did we see that? 9:23-24. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, that's all our desires, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. I thought it was weekly. Daily and follow me. If anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. You see? Crucified life. The crucified life, your husband cannot be your cross. Your child cannot be your cross. Your wife cannot be your cross. Some people say that, oh, this is my cross. No. The cross is when you choose the will of God and whatever your spouse, your husband or wife says, after doing everything that needs to be done to them, you follow the Lord, you go to preach the kingdom, you go and do the works of God under the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And that may bring conflict in your home when you come back. The husband may wait. Did I not tell you not to go? Yeah. But I got to go to be with my father's business. Father. That is where the cross comes. Some people get slammed. Some people. One lady came with a hand and showed me, look at this, brother, my hand. She said, what happened? It's all bluish. Yeah. I came to the church, a prayer meeting. When I went back home, my husband took a hammer and slammed on my head. That's cross. Still she came. One lady was praying, the husband came and took the Bible and just threw it. Boom. Still she came. That's a cross. What is the cross you are bearing? Oh, Pastor, I really suffered without the electricity. It was a real cross for me. That was no cross. That was your last coming out. The last for food and for coffee and other things. You just couldn't wait. And you dumb, everything was written in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the Lord took them for 3 days without water. And just for 6-7 hours without water. And you, and you not, no, you were not even in desert. And you don't know what desert is. Thank you, Jesus. thank God some of the Christians who are now living in these modern days were not living in the days of Moses. Otherwise, God would have had to protect Moses with special bodyguards. They finished him off. Going backwards and just, you know, digging up a pit and then, come here, Moses, I have a prophecy for you. Bang! And how many of us, we just, you know, even though you never said something, you were grumbling, was coming. Oh, and this, you know, this never happened before. But I am, I can't, I will die without the coffee. No! I got to have the coffee. Wait for more things to come. It's on the way. Yeah. God never said, happy days are ahead of you. The pagans are catching up now, I think before Christians, and they print it on the paper and say that, well, dark days are ahead. I saw it in the papers this morning. Isn't that right? And the sons of the kingdom shall laugh and rejoice. Glory to God. And those murmurers will find a hard, hard time. John 12:24. Is this nice? Yeah. Somewhat. I thought, I don't know whom I am following now. John 12:24. Most assuredly, I say to you, that means don't miss this place. Certain places, Jesus said, verily, verily, some translations. And some translations say, truly, truly. So that means, pay attention more carefully. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain, much fruit. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. You want to serve Jesus? Follow him. But he has given a clue. Unless the first life is buried, the second life will not come forth as a new tree and bring forth many grain. Wanting to hold on to the first life? Oh my God, Pastor. Fasting for 2 days? My. Now itself I feel dizzy. To hear that I feel dizzy. What if I do it? If a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, remains alone. Prepare to lose the first life. Jesus promises the second life. What is the second life? Blessed life. Abundant life. Being a blessing for others. Hold on to the first life. First life is what? Your soulish. Oh no. Oh poor me. You don't feel sorry for me? That kind of a life. You're worried about everyone, but you're not worried about me. That's life, self-centered life. Yeah, God will test you. In those days, thank you, Lord. Well, I used to sometimes, I serve my food. God is my witness. And everything is hot. And then I'm going to eat and then keep my first mouth or second mouth. And the call will come. Not the phone. I didn't have phone at that time. Somebody going to say, brother, can you come to the, they need somebody sick. Come home. come to the hospital.
Go wash my hands. Leave the plate. The run. And I knew the textings come at that time. Many times Shamina followed me. Run, take the mobile, run.
Because the will of God is number one. Stomach can wait till later. Are you there with me? But if you make food God and your stomach God, you will not go from there. So you need to die for self-life. Without losing the first life, the second life cannot be received. The grain must disappear and die. And Jesus promises an entirely a new life comes forth from that death. A new resurrected life comes, which is the born again spirit. And for that one to bring forth fruit, bear the cross daily. So if anyone serves me, him, my Father will honor. So denying self, the self is the greatest hindrance for following Jesus. Devil comes the second, I believe, in my opinion. The soulish and the self-life is a real hindrance for following Jesus. What about you today? Is it easy? Are you having a peaceful life? I know that you have not committed adultery or stolen somebody's money or speaking lies, talking hypocritically, whatever, which is normal for Christians. The one that Joyce Meyer spoke about Christian liars. But I'm talking of a life that is laid down. Will you put God's kingdom first? Did he not say that? If you seek God's kingdom first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness first, and the things I will add to you. Isn't that? The reason why we haven't got enough things is that we don't put the kingdom of God and seek first. No, certainly not. Otherwise, the promise of Jesus in that scripture, Matthew 6:33, would be wrong. Isn't that right? So Jesus says, we need to forsake everything. What about that man who had some riches, you see, and he kept all his commandments? Is it in Luke? And he came and said, what can I do to enter the kingdom of God? Luke 18. 18:18. Oh, very easy to remember. So Jesus said, keep the commandments. And he said, I have kept the commandments from my younger age, from childhood. Oh, I've gone to church, I paid my tithes, and you know, just like today's people, they say that. Oh, I'm living here. But then what did he say again? Verse 21, and he said, all these things I kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. He did not leave him just like that after selling everything. He said, sell everything. come and follow me. I mean, Jesus is not going to say this for everyone. Go and sell everything. That is not Jesus is saying here. Everyone will have to become nothing. Sell everything you have. Put all the money that you have. Sell all your houses, your car. Put everything for my kingdom. Come and follow me. No, Jesus said. Here, Jesus is telling us something very, very important. He told him to go and sell, this man to go and sell everything. You know why? Watch this. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, sad, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, now, his sadness on the face exposed his inner condition. What was the inner condition? Why Jesus told him to sell everything, to give his money to the poor? How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The rich people can enter heaven when they die, if they are born again. But to enter the kingdom of God, to be an ambassador, to function as a son of God, to function as a daughter of God, to function as a commander, as a soldier, you should not have anything controlling you. Money was controlling this young man. It was controlling to the point where he could not decide to leave the money away and to follow Jesus. He chose to hang on to the money and leave Jesus. Are you with me? He chose to go back home and to hang on to his money, his riches, than to follow Jesus. So Jesus said, you know how hard he's going to enter into the kingdom of God? You know, people have all kinds of different ideas about entering the kingdom of God. The born again experience gives you the authority to enter, but to function and to enjoy the inheritance of the kingdom of God, you need to be free from the control of everything on earth. I am telling you some words which I have no idea what I'm speaking. Praise the name of Jesus. To function and to operate and to receive the benefits of the kingdom while on earth is entirely a different thing than to be just a person existing as the born again child of God in the kingdom. You can die as a pauper in the kingdom of God. Just like that elder brother. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He had everything. The father told, my son, you are always with me. Everything that I have is yours. And you're asking me for a lamb? To have a good dinner with all your friends? Why didn't you take it for yourself? And there are many paupers, many so-called Christians who call themselves. No doubt they live as paupers in the kingdom of God. Are you there? Did not Jesus say there were many widows in Israel, but Elijah was not sent to any one of them, but to the woman in Zarephath? Isn't that right? Many who needed healing, you know. But this woman came and said, I need this devil to go away from my daughter. You got to help me, Lord, please. And you know what Jesus said, called her a dog. And Jesus said, that's okay, but I just want the crumbs, because at least the dogs have their crumbs falling from the table of their master. Did you get the crumb? Yes. Today there are many children of God in the kingdom. They are not getting even the crumb. There is loaves of bread available. You know why we are not getting? We throw the word of God behind our backs and we say, Lord, we live in a place where there is so much of a fast life. You know, this life was not there in Jerusalem when you lived, Lord. You don't know what life here is.
So money was holding this man, so he couldn't follow Jesus. Today, there are so many things holding people in following Jesus. Why follow Jesus? To fulfill the purpose and plan of God in your life. I thought, I'm a good member in the church. I do whatever possible that's necessary. This man was doing the same thing. He was keeping all the laws of God. But there is a purpose. God created you and me. And he has invested his Holy Spirit, the anointing. And he's given the keys of the kingdom. Keys? Can you imagine? The father gives the key to his safe at home and then goes away. You open it and then whatever you use, you want to use. And he does not know how to open. Lives without food. That shows how most of the children of God are nowadays. So the cost of following Jesus, how it is. Lord, make this message a blessing that we will lay down our life through your mercy and grace and follow you, Lord, come what may, that you may fulfill the purpose and plan for which you created us. We thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.